Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, Dandy?
I'm doing okay. I'm traveling.
I could hear.
Yeah, so I probably, when somebody else comes on, I'll mute.
No problem.
Okay.
I'm waiting for somebody else to come on, so.
You doing okay?
You? Good evening.
It's still just me.
Okay. Hello.
It's still me. I thought somebody else came
it's still...
on.
No,
okay.
Nobody else has come on.
Okay.
We're just waiting for somebody to come on.
Okay.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hannah, do we start at 1:15 or 1:14?
1:13.
1:13 we start at, or we ended there.
What was the last thing you said?
I asked if 1:13 was where we ended.
Actually, we ended at 1:12, I think.
Okay.
That's what I have written, so.
All right. I always trust that.
Well, I never know, you know. Oh.
Okay, well, let us start. We are studying from section 14 of the Parsha of Noach from the Zohar, starting with verse 1:13, and we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkin tebid ki luurchimu ki luurchi luurchimu v'yakta Lashem yud hei bavav hei v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu penenei aleinu maasei yadeinu penenehu. Ve'i teima Noach udimeya sitim ma'anyana havadila itchazed v'alda kol ma'di ishtekach v'al ma'shetze Leyavialda Vashem beit Galya Vela Shetse Kola Elohim Bae Satimu Uvae Leis Tamra Deha Kola Shetse Bialda Elohim Bilchodo Havi. And although you may say that Noah and all who were with him were saved and not all were destroyed, it is only because they were hidden from sight and unseen by the angel of destruction. Thus it is considered that everything, namely everything that was seen by the eyes of the angel of destruction, that existed in the world was destroyed. That is why the term En Hashem indicates that he does not destroy all that is revealed to the eye, as in the case of the destruction of Sodom. However, the term Elohim indicates that all should be carefully concealed, because he destroys everything, namely all that is revealed to the eye. That is why the term Elohim refers to the female principle alone, without Zeron Pin, who is mercy. Questions, comments, thoughts? And we did briefly touch on this Pasuk last time. But
Malcolm.
let's continue. Go ahead, Hannah.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, somebody said something.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Or am I hearing
that? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to those who came on, we're studying Pasuk 113 and section 14 of the Zohar and Parashat Noach. So does anyone have any questions at moments?
Well, seeing the words that not all were destroyed because they couldn't be seen. I mean, we've had other passages where we know we shouldn't go out when the angel of death or destruction, because whoever's out,
correct,
the rain falls on the just and the unjust.
Right.
So that's kind of what this
can be seen. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That was okay, but I didn't miss what you said.
I'll say it later. Go ahead with what you were saying.
Well, basically, that's what this is saying, although it's comparing Sodom and Gomorrah, I guess, because Lot and his two daughters weren't destroyed. The wife was destroyed, but because she didn't heed the warning. But so those two are compared. And it's basically saying because Noah and his family were in the protection of the ark, that was why they were not just destroyed. But I think the Torah says that when they entered the ark, Hashem is the one who closed the door.
The Midrash says that. I don't think the Torah says it.
Okay.
It just says that I think the Torah just says they entered the ark.
Okay, now is the female principle there, is that a metaphor for Malkut? Since it's a long,
yes.
Okay, without Zeron Pin. Okay. Makes me also think of Passover, you know, when they had to put the blood on the doorpost of each home and stay within the house so that when the angel of destruction came through, they were preserved if they had put the blood on the doorpost. So it kind of makes me think of that as well.
It's an interesting comment, because if this verse is saying that if you're seen, you're subject to being to the angel of destruction, and if you're not seen, you're not subject to the angel of destruction. And on Passover, the doors are closed, so you're not being seen. But obviously the angel of destruction had been given permission to enter every house unless there was the lintel, unless the doorpost had been painted or splashed with lamb's blood. Actually, it's a combination of lamb's blood and the blood of circumcision.
Okay.
But it's... this verse is a bit confusing, Now, as you said, we have been taught that once Satan is given permission to destroy, he can destroy everything he sees. So we need to remain concealed. So the verse is essentially saying that because they were concealed, they were not destroyed. But we discussed last week this idea of sometimes the name Elohim is used in a frame where it appears to us to be merciful, which is inconsistent with our understanding of the name Elohim. And sometimes it appears to us to be destructive, but it's being Hashem's name of mercy is being used. And it's hard for us to understand that, and it's something we have to work on, to recognize that everything, destruction, judgment, and mercy are essentially the same. But it's very hard to see that. So let us go on to verse 114. Veraza da Hashem lemabu yashav, mahu yashav, el male kiraketiv, la yachlinan. L'mei mar yashav bilchodo dilatya im dina k'tiv haka yashav uk'tiv hatam badad yashav bilchodo. And this is the secret of the verse. Hashem sat at the flood. So he asks, what is the meaning of the term sat? And he answers that if it had not been written in the scriptures, we could not have said it, because the term sat indicates that he sat alone by himself and was distinct from the judgment that was passed at the great flood. This is based on the analogy that here it is written, Hashem sat, while in another place it is written, he shall sit alone outside the camp. The meaning in both cases is that he was alone by himself. All this leads to the fact that at the sentence of the flood, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh sat alone. He did not join in that judgment, and that is why the sentence was imposed as judgment without mercy. Questions, comments, thoughts?
In other words, once the decree was made for the rain to begin, Hashem just waited for the destruction to take place.
Well, he had authorized the angel of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look into the Tanakh and see whether Hashem's name is used, or it's Hashem Elohim, or what is the actual name that was used with respect to the flood.
Mm-hmm.
Here the Zohar is telling us that the name that started the flood is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. But then it's saying he did not join in that judgment. And that there really was no mercy injected into the flood at all.
Mm. But it seems that the mercy would come through when the next generation, they would, those souls would be reincarnated.
That is a merciful act, correct?
But Hanak, when it says that Yud-Heh Vav-Heh said alone, when you're talking about the names that are associated with the flood, and you were talking about the combination of names, but it says Hashem and Yud-Heh Vav-Heh. So when they're saying Hashem in this context, are they speaking about Hashem Elohim and Yud-Heh Vav-Heh used together?
Whenever you hear the word Hashem, it's talking about Yud-Heh Vav-Heh.
I'm sorry?
Whenever you hear the name Hashem, it's talking about Yud-Heh Vav-Heh. We don't use Hashem in any aspect other than Yud-Heh Vav-Heh.
Okay, but when they said that he acted alone, are they speaking of, and you had mentioned about the names, are they saying Hashem with Yud-Heh Vav-Heh? Not Hashem with Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, but
no.
Hashem with Elohim?
That's what they're saying. Hashem acted alone. Yud-Heh Vav-Heh acted by himself. There was no connection to Elohim in the flood. That's what it's saying. If you read the Torah, that's what I remember, is that it always speaks of Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, except once it talks about Yud-Heh Vav-Heh Elohim. But how can we understand that the name of mercy was used in the flood, which is clearly a destructive act? And that's what the discussion is about. And the Zohar is coming and saying, here, see, in Psalm 29:10, it's talking about the flood, and it says that Hashem sat at the flood, sat alone. And the Zohar, this verse in the Zohar is explaining us that.
Hanok, would the mercy be that he saved a generation? He saved Noach and his family? I mean, he didn't destroy the whole.
That is the mercy, yes. And it was Hashem who told Noah, go into the ark, enter the ark. He held back the flood for the burial of Methuselah, allowed him, his family, to sit Shiva for him, the 7-day delay. That was mercy. There are many aspects of mercy in the story of Noah.
I have a question.
And yet when
it says that, you know, Noah's family was saved, but they also said there was one person out of that generation that clung to the ark that was not destroyed. Are we talking about all?
Yes, the Midrash says that Og, the giant, clung to the ark, and so he was saved.
Whatever happened to that person? I mean, it just states that, then I did not hear or I have not read anything else about the one that was saved.
The Midrash says that he was saved because Hashem judges the Rashas, the evil people, he allows them to complete certain positive actions. And Og was supposed to be the one who reported to Abraham that Lot had been captured by Sodom and by the five kings. So Og was the one who reported to Abraham at Isaac's weaning that Lot had been captured by the five kings, and that he was, you know, and Abraham had had to decide whether to save him or not. And because of that good deed, that's why Og was saved.
But he never entered the ark, so did he ride the ark for a year?
Yes,
I mean,
that's what the midwife said.
And when it
he held on to the rudder. He essentially held on to the rudder, and because he was a giant, approximately 20 feet tall, 20 cubits tall, I'm sorry, the rudder, he was able to hold on and keep his head above water.
But he was never fed. How did he get nourishment?
Angels don't need nourishment, and he was the son of a fallen angel.
Okay.
The giants were conceived. They were the children of human women with angels that had been thrown out of heaven.
Are those
yes.
the Nephilim?
Those are the Nephilim, yes.
Nephilim. Okay.
And the last of those giants, and the least of those giants, was Goliath, who King David killed. And you also have the three giants in the story of the spies as well. So you have these three times that you're talking about giants in the Torah, plus the first time, which is in chapter 6 of Genesis, Bereshit.
So how did he... This Og was along. How did he bore children?
Who, Og?
Yeah. Or did he?
We have no information as to whether he had children or not, whether they were... they were able to have children or not. We don't really know.
Okay.
I have another question related to that. When Moses sent out the spies to search out the land of Canaan, and they came back with reports of the people being very, very big, so where did those
yes.
people come from?
Those are three giants. In the Midrash, they're mentioned their name. I don't memorize that. So,
if you read
the Midrash about it, no, there were three names in the Torah story of the spies, and the way they describe it, the false statements describe that we were like flies or insects in their eyes because they were. Yeah, grasshoppers, correct, because they were so much bigger than we are. And that's what the people believed, and that's why they got scared, and that's what led to the destruction of the generation. But all of the giants, those three mentioned there, Og,
mm-hmm.
the king of Bashan,
Bashan,
Goliath, all of these people are giants, which are children of the fallen angels with human females.
So it was a falsehood when the one person reported that we were like grasshoppers. It was only one giant?
No, there were three of them. If there had only been one, the language would have been that we were like grasshoppers in that giant's eyes. But it says in those eyes, in the eyes of the giants, or whatever the language is, it shows it as plural. So there were three of them, is what is we are taught in the Midrash. Should I go on to verse 115?
Yes.
Yes.
Ugin de Noah Hawa Satim Mayana Livatar Kadi David Dina the Shete Alma the Noah Rugzea Makiti Laiskor Elohim Et Noah the Gomer Da'akad sha'cheitza cheitze alma la'adkar sitamitim me'ayana ava. Now, because Noah was out of sight after the sentence was passed, the world was destroyed and his temper was quiet. It is written, and Elohim remembered Noah. For until now, when he was destroying the world, Noah was not remembered because he was out of sight. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Yes, they use Elohim in this particular paragraph. Why?
Correct.
Is this the judgment?
Well, yes, it's a judgment that Noah was remembered. There had to be a determination. He was being hidden. He was in the ark. He was out of sight. So he wasn't destroyed. That was mercy. But whether he merited to come out of the ark or could he have been left in there forever, that's a judgment. Anytime you use discernment, you make a decision. That's a judgment. When you get up in the morning and you pick the white underwear or blue underwear, that's a judgment. Most of us think it's just habit. You take the top one on the pile. But it's not. It's a decision. Why was the top one on the pile white? Why did the person who was stacking the laundry stack it in that order? We do judgments all day long, and we don't realize it. And this verse comes to reinforce that understanding. It's for us to realize that whenever we make a judgment, whenever we discern positive or negative, we're making a judgment. And we're connecting to the name Elohim. We're connecting to the left column.
But in the previous sentence, a paragraph, it said, I'm going back to this because I'm not clear on something. It says that all this led to the fact that the sentence of the flood, Yud Hey Vav Hey, said alone. So that's not mercy.
Yes, the fact that he was hidden away was a merciful act. you can make you can have a merciful act that's connected to judgment. That's why the name that's used in the Torah about the flood is Hashem Elohim. It's mercy and judgment combined. But that's not easy to do. There's certain rules of how that can happen. And earlier, the previous section, that's what we talked about. How mercy and judgment can be brought together. No other questions or comments at this time, because we're out of time. So if you do have some, I'll keep going. Tonight's class at 7 o'clock is the Essays by Rabbi Ashlein. So we'll be starting a new essay tonight. And I wish you all a beautiful day. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we will have a class at 4:30, which is a mini Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock, our Tikkuni Zohar class. Shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you.